Enjoying the season, no matter the weather. It takes more than a little mud to keep Mainers from enjoying the wonders of our state. So even though this time of year may not always be as beautiful as other seasons, there is no shortage of ways to get out and find something interesting to do. I'm Cindy Hahn. Join me for a conversation about the many ways to make the most of mud season in Maine. We'll highlight some of the variety of local events and activities and destinations to check out, from farms to flower shows to fascinating historic sites. Are you itching to get outside? Do you have a favorite family activity to do this time of year? Or maybe you're looking for some off-the-beaten-path ideas. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Cindy Hahn, and this is Maine Calling. Yes, the snow is melting out there, ushering in the inevitable mud season. But never fear, our panelists have plenty of ideas for ways to make the most of the season in Maine, both indoors and out. In the studio with me, Jennifer Hazard. She's the author of The Maine Playbook, and she writes about food, travel, and family for many different outlets. And Brian Kevin, he's executive editor of Down East Magazine. As always, we want to hear from you. What do you like to do this time of year in Maine? Especially if you have any lesser-known places or activities to suggest, please do share your recommendations. Call 1-800-399-3566. You can email talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on our Facebook page, or tweet at Maine Calling. But first, just for fun, we're going to take a quick listen to comedian Paula Poundstone, her take on mud season in Maine.
I've been here in mud season, and, well, you're dirty, but you get stuff all over your faces, but you're adorable during mud season. Most of you haven't spoken to one another for months at that point. And the spring comes in, there's almost a Munchkin Land feeling to it, you know? come out, wherever you are. It's so sweet.
So we do all sort of joke about mud season here, but it is true. This is sort of this weird bridge period when people aren't really getting out and about yet. But it's also true that right now there's still snow on the ground in most of the state. So let's just start with some of the things you can do outside that maybe take advantage of the remaining winter weather. Jen, did you have any ideas for just, you know, what can we still do that's enjoying snow?
Right. We like to follow Winter Kids and the things that they do and their free family events. And I know that they have two coming up in March, one at Shawnee Peak, I think, and one at Mount Abram for families to ski at a discount, which is great to get in a little practice, a little extra practice, and a little time with a family. It's a good thing.
That's great. Winter Kids is a favorite program here. And I know, actually, Maine Office of Tourism Director Steve Lyons was going to be joining us today, but he's not feeling well, unfortunately. But he did want to point out there are lots of events going on at the ski resorts, and he said to check out the websites for Sunday River and Sugarloaf, for example, that plenty of concerts and ski-type activities, all kinds of stuff. And Brian, you too, you're looking at that
We're
as an option.
We're going to Sugarloaf next weekend. Yeah, where I'm not much of a skier, but I want my kids to learn this winter. So they've got their first lessons set up at Sugarloaf. And that's the cool thing about living in a state that is geographically diverse during these transitional seasons, I feel like. And it's a nice thing to prompt you to get out of your backyard. Because like on the Midcoast right now, where I live, winter is over, or it certainly feels like it. There's not a scrap of snow on the ground in my yard right now. But, yeah, drive 2 hours to the west to Sugarloaf or Sunday River or something, and they're still celebrating winter. You can still cross-country ski up in the county right now, and so it's just a question of finding those last scraps somewhere.
That's great. It's always good to have someone else teach your kids, too, from experience skiing. And actually, it's also this weekend is when we set our clocks forward. So even more.
It is.
Yeah, Brian, don't miss it. It's spring forward time. So really, we're going to have more daylight hours. And, you know, outdoor activities are even more enjoyable starting this weekend, I think. So any other ideas? I mean, it is, in spite of the mud, you can still get out on the trails, right?
And I actually think the springtime is one of the best times to kind of do at least in the first half of the year, like some deep woods type stuff, because we're bug free still. So yes, like you're gonna need your muck boots, but I think this is a great time to actually get back in the woods. You know, ticks are starting a little bit, so everybody should be conscious of that. But my kids and I, there's something we've been meaning to do in the spring, and we're just looking at it and thinking now's the time. You know, water is big right now. The melt starts, and so waterfalls are amazing if you have a water trough. We have this stream that runs through our back 40, such as they are, and we've lived here for 3 years. We don't know where this stream begins, so our big plan is to just put on our muck boots, go hike upstream until we find where this stream begins, which is the kind of thing that, like, in June is going to be wretched because you're going to be getting bit up by all kinds of creatures, but March, April is kind of ideal.
That's such a good point. Avoid the bugs now. Right.
And that's funny, too, because that's what we do this time of year. We joke where our house is that we live in the Cumberland Snowbelt. But we still have, like, part of my yard and the woods behind it have snow, and then another half is completely grass. Mm-hmm. But that's the time that we go in our woods because there are no bugs, and we put our snowshoes on, take the dog back there, and just explore the space that we wouldn't normally be able to any other time of year without getting really bitten up. And really muddy.
And vernal pools, which are awesome for kids, but kind of for grown-ups too. Now's the time of year soon enough to start finding, frog eggs and salamanders and what we call the fairy shrimp, I think.
That's true. That's a great point. And so as long as you have good boots or snowshoes, you're good to go. but some other major things happen in Maine in March, and one of them I think that most people know about is Maine Maple Sunday.
Yes.
Huge event for us, and it's March 22nd this year, so coming right up. Any particular favorite places for you to celebrate that day?
My family, we've been trying the past couple of years to switch it up a little bit and try new farms because there's so many places that are doing events. One is a place that we actually go cross-country skiing, Harris Farm in Dayton. They're doing pancakes and homemade donuts, and they have the best chocolate milk that I've ever had in my life. And
what makes it good?
It's just so rich and creamy and awesome. I mean, maybe it tastes good after you ski for a while, and that's why it tastes so good. But anyhow, so they've got all that going on. And then if there is no snow, they'll do wagon rides. And then two tours of their sugar house and that sort of thing. So I think the big food aspect and then the ability to get out and go for a ride and see the farmland is a lot of fun. And then similarly in the mid-coast, there's goat snuggling, lamb hugging events going on around that same Maple weekend too.
We're going to talk about goats in a bit. Yeah. Goats seem to be having a moment here in Maine. But actually, I wanted to go to one of our callers since I do believe he's calling about something maple-oriented. Hi, Josh. You're on the air. Josh calling from Brunswick?
Yes. Great. Thank you. To me, this time of year is sap season. I started doing it years ago with my small children, and it's something that anybody can do very easily on a very small scale. And to me, it's a wonderful sign of spring, you have the life force flowing out of the ground. And, I would just suggest, that it's very easy. You can only need one or two trees. And it's just a nice way to enjoy this season, putting a positive spin on it.
That's nice, Josh. What exactly do you do when you go about? You tap the trees?
Yeah. You just drill a small hole. For me, I found if I have three or four taps, you drill the hole, and you can go to any hardware store. They're called stiles, these little things, and you tap it into the tree. I'm not sure if tapping comes from drilling the word from drilling the hole or tapping in the style. And then I just use a milk jug. You cut a little hole in it. You hang it on your stile. And then when it starts to flow, that drip, 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 what a sweet sound.
Literally.
You gather up a couple of gallons. I have a wood-fired sauna. And so I just, as the sauna is going, I just keep boiling it down. And then every now and then you let it go, get thick enough. The tricky part is knowing when it's done. More sophisticated operations will have hydrometers and other kinds of equipment. But you get a feel for it after a while.
That's great.
My kids are long gone and grown. I still do it. And actually I've ramped it up a little bit where I put it in these little 2-ounce bottles and enjoy giving it away as gifts.
That's so nice. Thank you, Josh. We're going to have to stop saying mud season and just call it sap season. That sounds a lot better. And actually, just a note, we will be doing a whole Maine Calling show next Friday to talk all about Maine maple syrup. So we'll hear more about that. Cool. Did you have a favorite
activity? I'm actually, to Josh's point, we have spent years past, driving to a sort of destination-y farm that does the rides and does kind of an event out of it. But last year or two, we've just gone to the local place in Hope, which is a place called Sparky's. And I've decided that I'm a big advocate for just like finding the closest, sugaring operation to you, because even though it might not have quite the hullabaloo of some of these other events, you really get an opportunity to, meet your neighbors and stuff, but B, like really sit there and ask questions of somebody who knows the kind of stuff that Josh there knows, and maybe pick up a few tidbits if you want to try it yourself, for which we also have like the Extension Service and MOFCA and great resources where if people want to do that, like there are classes, there are ways to learn.
Yeah, right. Last year I took the UMaine Cooperative had like a Saturday workshop.
Oh, cool.
On tapping trees. I always get bogged down in the logistics.
So did you do it this year?
And you know what I did? I looked around at my yard and I got completely intimidated by the trees are so tall. Like, okay, which one is the maple tree? And yeah, I mean, they showed us everything. I kind of held off a little bit.
Yeah, good for you for learning. That's great. Well, we're moving through March, talking about some other things happening. And obviously, St. Patrick's Day is in March. And we always do have quite a bit happening in Maine, not only among the Irish, those with Irish heritage, but just everybody who wants to have fun. So any St. Patty's Day highlights happening that you want to talk about?
Yeah, we always, every year, it's kind of become a tradition of our families to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade in Portland. And it's usually very cold, so we bundled up and hang out on Commercial Street. But it's fun. It's super festive. Everyone's sort of glad to get out there. There's a lot of color. Everyone is dressed up in the crowd. Even people dress up their dogs in hats and costumes. And there's a lot of great traditional music and dance. It's great to hear the bagpipes go by. And then there's also the kids always get to see the different mascots, Slugger the Sea Dog, and things of that nature. So it's a fun morning out.
Right. I was looking this up. There are pubs all over the state with events planned. So there's no shortage of St. Patrick's Day activities. Brian, do you have any to add to that?
I didn't even know St. Patrick's Day was happening.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm like pretty Irish as well. So no, I'm embarrassed. I have no St. Patrick's Day traditions, and perhaps this year I will start some.
Gotta at least, wear green and eat some shepherd's pie or something.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, and one thing we do have to touch upon is, as you've been hearing in the news extensively, the coronavirus outbreak and how it's affecting kind of major gatherings or parades and things like that. And as far as we know right now, Maine isn't as affected as some other states, but just to sort of, as you think about the big events, just to watch for whether they're happening or not. Hopefully they still are. Okay, we're getting back to the goats now.
Yeah.
We have to talk about goats.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned them, and I've noticed that really in the past maybe 5 years or so, I think they kind of became famous in Maine for like to go snuggle with the goats or to do goat yoga or whatever.
Right.
That seems, and this is a good season to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's spring, so a lot of the baby goats are being born. I think I first became aware of it because a farm just around the corner from where we are, Sunflower Farm, started that baby goat snuggling.
Right.
And now it really has become a thing. Two farms on the Midcoast Cheese Trail, the Fuzzy Udder Farm in Whitefield and the Coppertail Farm in Walderboro, are doing events, similar events to that, around that Maine Maple Weekend that we mentioned. Where you can go and you can try their cheeses, but you can also meet those animals and buy some of the farm goods that they sell. So
Right. And yeah. I think it's the time of year that coincides with more baby animals being born, right?
Right.
So I think
yeah.
some of the farms are just even have that just to see. So that's great. Well, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Lee Honda. With the all-wheel drive Honda Passport, with new driver assist and safety features. Learn more at leehonda.com. And Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice, with expanded services in Augusta, including pediatric care and telehealth. More at androscoggin.org.
More and more parents have sent their children across the Texas-Mexico border alone to escape dangerous conditions, and their children struggle with that choice.
I'm happy because I left the child shelter. I'm sad because I can't see my family.
One father and son who made that difficult decision this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And that's coming up later today from 4 to 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public Classical and Minnesota Public Radio are teaming up this October for an exclusive European classical music river cruise down the beautiful Blue Danube. The trip includes visits to world-class museums, grand opera houses, and the celebrated symphony halls of Budapest, Salzburg, Vienna, and Prague. Please note space is limited, so for more information, please visit mainepublic.org and click on the events drop-down for Maine Public Travel.
You know, I couldn't get enough of it. How many of you love mud? Let's see if you do. Mud. Mud. Oh, whoa. I'm absolutely, positively wild about mud. I can't go around it. I've got to go through it. Beautiful, fabulous, super. Let's do it again. Ready?
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. The music you just heard, I'm sure many of you are very familiar with, the I Love Mud song by beloved Maine singer Rick Charette. Do you both know that one?
Yes.
Yes. That one.
And now it'll be in my head for the rest of the afternoon.
We have a piece in the current issue saluting Rick Charette's retirement in the March issue, and our writer who grew up listening to him ranked his top five, the best five favorite Rick Charette songs, and it will come as no surprise to you that Mud came in at number one.
Number one. Number two, Alligator.
Alligator in the Elevator. And you start to get into Bubblegum, Where Do My Sneakers Go at Night, some of the more, you know, B-side, the true hardcore fans, hits.
Well, I'm glad we got to celebrate him for a moment. A lot of my colleagues were singing his song earlier, so. But the reason we played that, we are talking about ways to enjoy Maine this season, mud or no mud. My guests today are Brian Kevin, executive editor of Down East Magazine, and Jennifer Hazard, author of The Maine Playbook. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post a comment on our Facebook page. We were talking a little bit about animals and farms. Let's move to flowers for a moment, because what better way to counter mud season than to think spring? I think there's a lot of things offered for people who are looking to get their gardens going. Is that... And you know of one for sure.
I know the Down East sponsors. Yeah, I think everybody knows about the Maine Flower Show, which is happening March 26th through 29th. I think there might be a kickoff day or an opening day before that. Well, I guess it's sponsored by Maine Homes, our sister mag. And I've never been, but this sounds kind of incredible. Do you know that like 18,000 people evidently show up at this?
That's a biggie.
It's at Thompson's Point. And I guess they do all kinds of stuff. There's sort of seminars and workshops, you know, for people who are real hands-on. And I think there's, you know, kids' activities, and there's plenty to shop and buy for. You can meet, apparently, the folks from Maine Cabin Masters, which I know people love those guys.
We had them on our show once. They were so fun.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, so, and most of all, if you just walk around, you just feel like
oh, yeah, yeah. I think
feel
the exhibits,
good.
I saw some images, the exhibitors look crazy. I might go check it out this year. It sounds cool.
That's great. And similarly, I think Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens gets going in April. People may have gone there for Gardens Aglow in the winter, but obviously the natural beauty is really what kicks in.
Yeah, and
soon.
It's great too, because that it's a paved trail all through those gardens. So if you don't want to walk through the mud and you want to enjoy, you know, just a beautiful day outside, you could do it there, no problem, and start to see things come up and bloom.
They always have special activities. I did read that the theme at the Botanical Gardens this year for 2020 is Wicked Wetland Wonders. So some of what you were talking about, Brian, and really exploring the wetlands, that's kind of a new take. We will go to Truth, calling from Waterville. Hi, you're on Maine Calling.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to encourage people to support their local bakers, and I think that that's a nice thing to go out and have a fresh baked good and maybe a cup of coffee. And I was inspired to call today because I was just driving through Waterville and came upon a newer bakery called the Engine 5 Bakehouse on Western Avenue, and I had a cup of coffee and the most delicious cheddar biscuit. And I was talking to the proprietor. They've only been there for 2 years. And I just wanted to encourage people to go out and support your local neighborhood bakeries.
What a nice reminder.
You're here. Yeah.
No one ever has to remind me to eat a baked good and drink coffee.
Well,
my top five favorite things to do.
That is a natural segue. Thank you, Truth, for calling. That's very nice to share that with us. I think, obviously, what we're known for here in Maine is food and drink, and there are activities galore for that. Actually, Maine Restaurant Week is happening right now in Portland through March 12th. We have a message from Martin on Facebook. He says, check out Biddeford's food scene all in one spot this Sunday with Heart of Biddeford's Community Super. Soup spelled like what you drink or eat. Heartofbiddeford.org. So I think it's about the time of year when there's a lot of these sort of community food events happening. And I just want to toss one out there, food and drink-wise. I think you guys have mentioned before the Maine Brew Bus is a popular activity. And I just read on their site that now they've combined some of those tours with birding, which seems a little bit like you've got the loud and the quiet together. But yeah.
Well, you can drink beer quietly.
But that's kind of a neat way to combine some of
Have done the birding show fairly recently. I feel like in the last year.
We do lots of birding shows. We did something, though, on the bird decline.
Oh,
recently.
Okay. I had to remember that.
But were there other birding events
you
wanted to
point out?
Well,
just because it's such a thing. I mean, so we have a whole trips division that I don't have a lot to do with, but Down East Adventures is introducing like 3 or 4 birding trips this year, and they're selling really well, I gather. And the first one is it's a song migrating songbird and is in May already, so the tail end of mud season. But I feel like there's a lot more of that, and it's drawing more of a crowd, which I super endorse. There was an event that a colleague mentioned that sounds amazing. It's next weekend, and it is a Maine Audubon thing. It's the Piping Plover Party. So you get a little alliteration there. But the Piping Plovers start making their way back in. Migration in general, you know, by the time you get into late March, early April, you know, birds are coming back. And so this is it's at Ferry Beach, I guess. It's the 14th, and it sounds pretty cool. Guided walk, beach cleanup. There's beer, there's food, there's different kids events, and you're sort of prepping, I guess, for the return of these plovers. But in general, I mean, the idea of partnering up with an organization, or if there's a land trust or something near you and doing some of these guided walks, you can kind of, you know, they're going to know what trails are in decent shape this crummy, muddy time of year, and be able to point out some of the vernal pools and the migration and some of the little springy details that if you're not a naturalist, you know, it might go right over your head. So.
Great point. So that all the way through fall, there are different birding opportunities
And then it just really ramps up. I think the fall is big. Oh, before we leave beer, I know there's and at the intersection of skiing again, Sunday River has the big, I think it's a pretty big deal, Maine Brewfest spring session. That's coming up March 28th.
It's so Maine that beer just gets combined with what other activities you talk about. And you had some food-related ones, Jen, you wanted to mention?
A few. Well, Biddeford came up right nearby. The Saco River Market is at a winter market, and I think it ends around end of May. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's one that's always lively. They have live music and all kinds of great food choices right in the mill there. And then I'm really looking forward to the Fork Food Lab right in Portland is having a member market. And so all of the sort of creative food entrepreneurs that make the Fork Food Lab their home will be there, I think, the day before Easter. in April. And
tell us a little bit more about what Fork Food Lab is for anyone who's not familiar with it.
So for anyone who's not familiar, it's a place where if you are interested in sort of kicking off a food business, that you have the kitchen space and the people also to work with alongside to get the information you need to start off a new food business, no matter what it is. Yeah,
there's so many popping up all the time.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And one of the members of that Fork Food Lab has been doing some kid-related baking classes, the Sugar Sugar macarons. We have these lovely packaged macarons. I think that's how I first noticed them, because I'm a sucker for beautiful packaging. But she's teaching a drip cake making class just for kids.
How fun.
Yeah.
And along those lines, we've got farmers markets, right? I mean, the winter farmers markets that were there all through the winter, and then we're moving into a season of those opening. Are there any of those that you go to that you
and
like?
So we also, my family really loves the Brunswick Winter Market. That's kind of been our go-to spot for years. And I think in the same way, it's big. There's a ton of vendors. They're always super happy. It's a great learning experience. You know, if you're asking questions and want to learn about anything from, you know, alpacas and how they're raised or different cheeses, you can ask those questions and they're happy to answer. And there's always tastings, and it's a good way to spend a few hours on the weekend.
Even if you're not buying anything, just walking around feels good.
I'm not sure when Camden starts up. That's our go-to farmers market by us. And, you know, and we hit Damariscotta up sometimes. They'll start pretty quiet this time of year. But we actually really enjoy the United Farmers Market of Maine, I think is what they call the indoor market in Belfast. That's year-round, but you see some of the vendors and things change with the season. And that's a great spot to go, you know, on a crummy mud season-y day. It's indoors, and you can just eat your way around. It's got as many sort of food vendors and stands serving prepared food as it does folks selling crafts or produce or what have you. So we love it there.
That's great. We have an email from Veronica just reminding us that you mentioned the Maine Flower Show. It is March 25th to 29th at Thompson's Point in Portland. Thanks for pointing that out, Veronica. We also have email from Holly, who is saying that the Mid-Coast is not closed to winter activities, especially skiing. The Camden Snow Bowl still has awesome skiing, and words like tremendous and beautiful were uttered by our ski patrollers this morning as they were out testing the trails before we opened. The Snow Bowl is open for night skiing tonight until 8 p.m. Saturday it's open, Sunday it's open. She's got all the hours here, as long as conditions allow. And so far, the snow we made has stayed on the slopes.
And those guys have invested a lot into snowmaking in the last year or two, so they can keep rolling regardless of what my yard looks like. I pass them on the way home every night, and when they are lit up for night skiing, it is so beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah. Great. Well, thank you, Holly, for that. And there's another category of things that we can do, even if you aren't outside this time of year, and that's all the great arts and culture offerings in Maine that can be muddy out, and you can go to a great museum, or you can go see a show.
I feel like this is my time of year for that. I'm kind of like anti-Paula Poundstone, maybe, or she's saying like everybody's cooped up the last few months, and now they're getting out, because I like being out in the wintertime, and so it's this little in-between season where I'm like, oh, now I'm going to do all the indoor stuff. Now I'm going to go to the museums. I want to mention film festivals, and then I'll shut up. There's some cool ones happening now. Actually, the Maine in the Movies Festival is starting up like this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, and that's a cool I think it's the first time they've done it. Sorry if I'm wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right.
And they are all over the state, and the shtick is that it's movies that have either been filmed in Maine or simply where the setting was in Maine. So it's this really wide swath of everything from like Olive Kitteridge, the miniseries, to old silent films that were set in Maine, to The Iron Giant.
I love that.
Set in Maine. To my favorite movie of last year, which is The Lighthouse with Willem Dafoe the vampire kid. I can't remember his name.
Robert Pattinson.
Yes, Robert Pattinson. Whoa, that is a strange and beautiful movie set on a lighthouse in Maine. So check out check that out. The Maine Jewish Film Festival is another one Downey sponsors. That starts up at the end of this month. I went to a couple of shows for that last year. That's at the Nickelodeon in Portland, but it's also at the Evening Star in Brunswick and the Railroad Square in Waterville and a handful of other places.
Lots of places.
Yeah, PMA maybe does some. And it's just a really wide swath of documentaries and shorts and features, and really, really cool film festival.
Right. I've got the dates. I think that goes from March 28th through April 5th. And like you said, lots of different theaters with a real huge variety of films.
Yeah. And so that's something that's relevant. I mean, both of those to people who are hearing this all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think live music, too, that's one of the things that we really like to check out, especially this time of year. This coming weekend, the Maine Academy of Modern Music has a girls' rock show, and it's all their student rock bands. It's pretty cool. Like,
awesome.
The kids are amazingly talented, so it's a lot of fun to go see, and that's at Port City Music Hall. And then we were talking earlier, there's an app that we've been using called Rad Plaid that gives you all kinds of ideas to see local music.
And you just discovered that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Just a few weeks ago, we were out and about, and someone was handing out stickers as you find out about things. So that's how we found out about it.
So if you go on this, you just anything that's happening in Maine music-wise is on there?
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a really tremendous resource if you're looking for live music.
And that's Rad, R-A-D, and then
Plaid.
Like plaid, like the pattern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. What about theater, dance, art, visual arts?
I want to give a shout to the exhibit I was most excited about this year. It just opened this weekend at the Farnsworth in Rockland, and I went on Saturday afternoon. It's a show of Elliot Porter's work, a photographer from Maine, and he, among other things, is sort of responsible for like introducing color, and he was obsessive about color to find landscape photography, and kind of invented the modern coffee table book in a sense, but just really exquisite work. Not all of it from Maine, but a lot of it shot in his family sort of home or vacation home or island of Great Spruce Head, which is not far from Deer Island, up in Penobscot Bay. And that was a super cool exhibit. I know the PMA's big bicentennial exhibit is opening this month too, at the end of this month, and that is it's something Maine Stories of Maine, an incomplete history, which sounds cool because I think if I understand it right, they're bringing in a lot of sort of objects that might not otherwise have a home in a gallery or be considered fine art. So it's telling the stories of Maine through stuff. Like, I know they're going to have an old town canoe in there, and they're going to do some of the Wabanaki basketry, and maybe some old signage and things.
Yeah, I think it like earmuffs because they were invented kinds of interesting objects.
I think it'll be kind of fun to see stuff that you don't necessarily associate with the arts sort of, digested in an artistic context, I guess, and used to tell Maine's histories. I'm super looking forward to that one.
Yeah, a little different. Well, we are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your questions and suggestions. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Tandem Coffee, celebrating conversation, coffee, cheddar biscuits, and no Wi-Fi in Portland and at tandemcoffee.com. And Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for efficiency Maine energy audit and insulation rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com. On This Day in Maine's History is brought to you in partnership with the Maine Historical Society.
Forester, planner, and conservationist Benton McKay was born on March 6, 1879. In 1921, he proposed the idea for the Appalachian Trail, the northern terminus being Mount Katahdin. His proposal triggered 16 years of effort, organized through hundreds of local trail associations and community groups, to blaze and build a 2,140-mile trail along the crest of the Appalachian Mountains. McKay is recognized as a pioneer of land preservation for recreation and conservation purposes.
On This Day in Maine's History is made possible through the generous support of Roosevelt Campobello International Park. Happy birthday, Maine!
Mary was nearing 60 years old when her life took a huge turn. She became the foster parent to her niece's 4 kids.
I didn't know what to do with them. We went out every day. We went out to dinner every night. I couldn't cook.
Auntie would have brought anything, even water.
On Next, from the New England News Collaborative, the challenges and successes of the foster care system. And we talk to author Lily King about her new book, Writers and Lovers. Please join us.
That's coming up this afternoon at 2 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Cindy Hahn, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, we are getting some great ideas for ways to enjoy this in-between season, places to go, things to do around Maine. My guests are Jennifer Hazard, author of The Maine Playbook, and Brian Kevin, executive editor of Down East Magazine. And you mentioned something about Bicentennial, and I have a little mention here from a message from Sandra. And she said, Ellsworth Winter Carnival and Maine Bicentennial, March 14th and 15th. It includes a Maine birthday cake contest. So celebrating Maine's Bicentennial. And I think there's really quite a bit going on around. I think the Maine movies thing you mentioned is part of
occasioned
the
Bicentennial. By the Bicentennial. Yeah. So the actual Bicentennial day is a week from today, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the 13th. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong about that. But next weekend is when the big action is happening in Augusta. They have parades.
Maine Public's part of. There's a Maine on the 15th. I think there's a parade and all kinds of things. And
yeah.
So, and I think, Jen, you had also highlighted
right.
some Bicentennial activity.
There's a Bicentennial parade in Lewiston, Auburn, in mid-May, with floats and all kinds of bands and just celebrating all the organizations across the state. So I think it'd be a fun thing to check out.
It's really amazing how people are really stepping up all across the state for this special time. We have a call from, let's see, Sean calling from Searsmont. Hi, Sean. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My favorite part of mud season in Maine is that a lot of the local road races start going again, the 5Ks and 10Ks. And for those of us who try to run year round, you know, you've just dealt with all the snow and the ice of the winter, and it's nice to get out there and stretch your legs again. I grew up in southern Maine, and one of my favorites is Mary's Walk down in Saco, which is also one of the fastest 5Ks in the state, and is they raise a bunch of money, which is fantastic. The Patriots Day race in Portland is also fantastic. So looking forward to getting back out there to compete.
Great point, Sean. Thanks for calling. The whole idea of stretching your legs this time of year.
Yeah, I am training for what I hope, if I don't chicken out, is a half marathon. And I think it's beginning of May. So it's
Which one's that?
8-week training program. It's the Mid-Coast Marathon. I think it starts at UNE in Biddeford and goes through Kennebunk and Kennebunkport.
Cool.
Yeah. And I completely agree with what he's saying. It's so nice to get that snow melt so you can get back out on the road instead of a treadmill, which is not fun.
I'm not training for a damn thing, but I am looking forward to being able to run outside. That's going to be nice.
You can cheer for others. Colin on Facebook has another outdoorsy suggestion. He said, aside from maple syruping, the more adventurous outdoors folks take to the rivers for canoe trips before the bugs are out. Winter meltwater swells small streams and rivers, making for exciting and fun canoeing all over the state. Be wary of cold water temperatures. Bring your tent and supplies and make a weekend of it. So thanks, Colin, for that idea. And we'll go now to Brian calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Brian. What did you want to talk about?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. No, I was just wanted to let people know the Reggae Fest at Sugarloaf is going to be a good one this year. They got a band that no one should miss, the Big Takeover. They're fantastic. So I just want to kind of promote that one.
Do you happen to know what date that is?
That is April 9th through the 12th.
That's so it's a 3-day festival, all reggae.
Yeah, all reggae. Yeah, it's just good vibes all around.
Good to know. Thanks, Brian, for calling.
If I'm not mistaken, it's the following weekend at Sugarloaf. I think April 18th says my notebook. That's the Pond Skimming Championship. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, but that's like kind of their end of the year kickoff following Reggae Fest, and people coming down the hill, hitting the jump, trying to ride over the water, and then inevitably splashing in. That's kind of a fun scene.
Is it dangerous?
I mean, they do it.
It doesn't mean it doesn't mean it's not dangerous.
No one's got
it's
hurt
dangerous
yet.
If you're bad at it, probably.
So pond
it looks like
skimming.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. We have an email from Sue saying, "Local singer songwriter Max Ater will be at the Chocolate Church in Bath on March 20th." So another musician. Tons of local musicians. That's always very exciting. We'll just keep jumping through these right now. Susan on Facebook says, Bowdoin College Museum of Art, it's always free. See ancient and fresh art. Take the kids and engage with the security staff. They know a lot about the exhibits. If kids run out of interest, you don't feel like you have to stay and get your money's worth. It's free.
I have taken my kids to the Bone Museum many times for that reason, and it's a great sort of rainy day sort of thing, and they do really well. This is a random left field thing, but it occurred to me walking downtown today that the change of seasons means a change of sports seasons, and I believe there's only a handful of home games left this month of March for both the Mariners and the Red Claws. So if you're like me and you've been like, I'm going to take my kids to a Mariners game this year, like, time is running out to do that.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, that is a great point. We're actually going to see the Mariners tonight because we have tickets.
How fun. All right. And Emily on Facebook is pointing out that this weekend, the Oratorio Chorale presents Tenebrae. I hope I said that right. From Darkness to Light, Saturday at 3 p.m. at St. Luke's Cathedral in Portland and Sunday at 3 at St. John the Baptist in Brunswick. We're also presenting Appalachian Spring on May 9th and 10th. So that sounds great. Thank you, Emily. Let's see. We kind of blazed through arts and culture kind of quickly. I did want to talk about some of the historic sites in Maine that you can, again, along the lines of Bicentennial, maybe not actual Bicentennial sites, but there's all kinds of kind of cool places you can just drive to and look at them and learn something.
That's true. I took my son and his good friends, I think it was over a spring break, and we were home to the Old Fort Preble in South Portland, and then the Spring Point Ledge Lighthouse is right there, and they brought their Nerf and, like, you know, or just playing around the old fort, and just had, it was great for them. You know, it was just like their own sort of playground and such an easy place to get to and check out and explore. So,
you know, a great spring walk with a history emphasis. I'm just remembering this time last year, I went to Pettingill Farm for the first time, which is in Freeport. And that, you know, is
spot.
A really beautiful spot. That the walk in is sort of hard-packed gravel, if I'm not mistaken. It was like a road at one time. And so it would take a pretty serious mud season for that to kind of get washed out. And anytime you can find a hike that's, like you were saying earlier, on sort of good hard-packed, you know, roadish ways, then you're going to avoid the pitfalls of the mud. And then when you reach the sort of destination, it's like a really beautiful old historic farmhouse, and I think there's some interpretive element out there too. So that's a neat spot.
Yeah, it's always nice to get outside and also learn something.
And
we, the Maine Calling team, went up to the Bowdoin Museum that we were just talking about because we did a show on Rufus Porter, and they had an exhibit on him. So again, speaking of Bicentennial,
and Porters,
Rufus Porter. Yeah. We're doing a show on Francis Perkins, and we've got the Francis Perkins Center in Damariscotta. There are these interesting little gems all around the state for those kinds of things.
I should throw in, too, there are a bunch of rail trails that are great. You can bike on them or walk them. And in Belfast, the rail trail goes to a railroad museum because I think that trail once covered the Belfast and Moosehead Lake railroad line. That started in the 1870s and I think wrapped up around 2007. So,
are there any interpretive signs or anything along the way, or you just make your way
to the museum, and then that's where your learning happens? Yeah,
great.
And I think where a lot of that bike stuff is concerned, probably tell me this is right, but good idea to kind of call ahead on some of those, because I know, like, the carriage roads, for example, up in Acadia, closed until the Park Service says, all right,
the
Downey Sunrise Trail, I think, is closed during mud season. So it's good to check and make sure they've kind of thumbs up those rides for being ready for traffic.
Right. Good point. And James on Facebook says, this is a little bit mysterious here. Project Immersive is opening their immersive exhibit in Biddeford this weekend. Go check out the magical mystery box and experience a bit of spring early. Just don't touch the egg. So I'm not quite sure.
Well, now I want to touch the egg.
I know. I'm not quite sure what that means, but it's definitely intriguing. So that's Project Immersive in Biddeford. Thanks, James. We'll go to Mo calling from Gorham. Hi, Mo.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to talk about?
I wanted to let you guys know that the Maine Irish Heritage Center and the Irish American Club of Maine have a ton of really cool projects and programs and music and dancing. And, of course, it ends with the parade on St. Patrick's Day for the beginning of March every year.
Oh, definitely sounds fun for that. Yeah, thanks for adding that to our St. Patrick's Day list. Thanks for calling, Mo. And Yeah, so tons of things happening actually right very soon. We have a message from Lucy. Speaking of museums, I recently visited the Maine Maritime Museum in Bath, a great mix of history and current events, including an awesome exhibit about Bath Ironworks. And that is one of those museums I think sometimes people take for granted that we've got this incredible place here to visit.
And it's true.
Yeah. Love those guys. And I think they're putting a lot of work in this year into some sort of like renovation. They're changing the way things are laid up out back. And it's an exciting time for them. I've got an arts one that I can I sneak one in there?
Because
this is another thing we sponsor, but I also just love it. It's the Show and Tell Literary Spectacular, which is it's put on by the Telling Room Writing Center in Portland, but with tendrils going out into the rest of the state. I went last year. I won the door prize, which was pretty amazing, but that's not why I like it. I like it.
How did that happen?
I bought a ticket and it pulled my name. It like never happens. And, but this year they've got a handful of great writers, and it's sort of a multimedia. It's not like your typical stand in front of a dais and read something somberly. There's like a movement and dance component. There's an amazing light show. There's music. Lady Lamb is going to be there this year, former Maine, you know, reared rocker. I should know the date. It's April 7th. It's a ticketed thing. It's at the state, and I don't quite know how they're going to do this, but this year they're advertising it as like a first ever theater in the round experience at the state. So if you're into literary stuff or music, I really highly recommend that one.
Huh, that's very interesting. And I forgot to mention, by the way, when we were talking about bicentennial events, that we do have a full list of bicentennial events at mainepublic.org. So that's cool. That's a good repository for all of that information. We don't have that much time left, and I really wanted to hear what you guys have for the category of quirky, off the beaten track, lesser known kinds of things you can do this season in Maine. You're good for quirky, Brian. I'm counting on you.
I have one quirky. This isn't that off the beaten track, though. It was kind of on my film festival list, but the Cat Video Festival at the Portland Museum
quirky.
Of Art.
That's quirky.
Is, 14th and 15th. That's next weekend, I guess. And so that's, you know.
Have you seen any previews?
I got the mailer this week, you know, and so that's coming up again, but I've been in the past, and that's a pretty cool thing. And, you know, I watch the occasional cat video just in my free time. So.
Well, and as your busy executive editor position. So literally it's like one cat video after another.
Yeah, it is. And some of them are very artistic.
That's awesome.
The Oscar reel of cat videos, something like that.
And I'm always sort of fascinated by, I don't know, unique spaces where you can go and hang out, and this kind of goes back to beer and food, but Funky Bow Brewing in Lyman has a hoop house, and in that hoop house is where you like hang out and drink beer, but all throughout March they're offering free pizza on Sunday. So that's
nothing
alluring
wrong with
to
that.
Me. And it's kid friendly, it's pet friendly, and they'll often also have live music starting around 5 o'clock. So it's a good time if you have little ones too.
A little of everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't beat the cat video thing, I think, but
no.
Pretty darn good.
No, but maybe
contest.
They could, maybe, I don't know, maybe they
maybe
could
they
post
can
some
add them
there.
In. Yeah.
I've been out there when they're having their pizza nights, and it really is a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of kids running around and stuff too, which is
right,
cool.
Which is a good thing. Yep.
Well, here's one that fits both kind of quirky, but also our goat snuggling conversation earlier. Brian on Facebook says, Calf Cuddling Day at Maine Water Buffalo Company in Appleton is on April 26th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So you can cuddle more than goats. You can cuddle calves. And we'll just kind of wrap things up here with Lee on Facebook. She says, why not dig into any of the wonderful children's books on mud? My favorite is Mary Lynn Ray's Mud. So that's true. There are good children's books for this season. That's funny. You guys want to toss one more in the mix?
Yeah. Well, okay. I want to know if you have any recommendations for just like how to be forever prepared this season. Like, there's stuff you keep in your car, like being a family
forever.
Adventure person. Yeah. Like, what do I need to do to be
what
ready?
What do we have in our car? Yeah, we have a blanket for our dog. We have, well, our ski stuff, which I guess is going to move out. Always snowshoes.
Yeah.
Always some snacks.
Okay. I try and keep my muck boots in the car this time of year. Oh, I always have like three towels back there. I feel like it's a very Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing to say, but incredibly useful during mud season to just like have a crappy piece of cloth on hand.
That's very good advice.
Some extra mud boots. in the back are good, too.
Okay.
It's all about the boots. That's the moral of our story today. Well, we've run out of time, but thank you so much, Jen and Brian. Jennifer Hazard is the author of The Maine Playbook, and Brian Kevin is executive editor of Down East Magazine. Lucy Suchek ran the board today, and Sandra Harris took your calls. You can find past editions of Maine Calling at mainecalling.org. Today's show will be rebroadcast at 8, and our theme song was composed by Mike Jandreau. I'm Cindy Hahn. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Have a great weekend.